Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. This is the Lord's calling to men, to bear witness to the truth. The Lord calls women to bring the warmth of love to human society, and he calls men to bring the light of wisdom. We need both. Neither love nor wisdom can exist in integrity without being married to the other. That's why men need women and women need men. Rational and moral wisdom is the special gift the Lord offers to men and through men to all of society. The heavenly doctrine teaches that a love of growing wise is the inmost soul of a male. From this love, a male is born oriented to the understanding, while a female is born focused on the will. So the masculine is a form of the understanding of truth. This is why he has a sterner face, a harsher voice, a stronger body, and a bearded chin. In general, a less beautiful form than the feminine. All of these qualities correspond to the functions of truth. In the male, the masculine is masculine in every detail of his body, ideas, and affections. Nothing is the same in the masculine as in the feminine. And yet, there is the capacity and inclination to conjunction in every detail. The male and female are created to be the very image of the marriage of good and truth, or of love and wisdom. A male receives two kinds of wisdom, rational and moral. We read, "Rational wisdom regards the truths and goods which appear interiorly in man, not as his own, but as flowing in from the Lord. And moral wisdom shuns evils and falsities as leprosies or contagious diseases, shunning especially lascivious things which contaminate his conjugal love." Rational wisdom belongs only to the understanding, while moral wisdom is of the understanding and at the same time of life. In our lessons we read, "It is masculine to perceive from the understanding, and the understanding perceives things which are above the body and beyond the world, it being to these that rational and spiritual sight extends." This is the special wisdom that the Lord offers to men and through men to the world, to perceive things which are above the body and beyond the world. That is, to perceive what is right and wrong, true and false, apart from any possible consequences to himself in the world. The Lord teaches us that a man's rational wisdom ascends into a light in which women are not. It is a kind of wisdom special to men, just as the Lord gives to wives a special wisdom that is impossible to men. This is a gift to the human race that the Lord gives through men, just as he gives the gifts of conjugal love and love of infants through women. The cool, dispassionate light that men can receive is the complement to the warm sensitivity of women. This does not mean that men are to reform or instruct women, any more than women are responsible for regenerating men. Women, as of themselves, receive the truths they need through the sphere of men, just as men receive the sphere of conjugal love as of themselves through the sphere of women. But just as men cannot receive conjugal love except through the sphere of women, so women's understanding is elevated into the light of heaven through the sphere of men. It is crucial that the understanding be capable of being lifted up above the selfish will, seeing what's really true in the light of heaven, despite the selfish inclinations of our native will, is the first step in the process of regeneration, the step called reformation. We read, the first act in the new birth is called reformation, which pertains to the understanding. And the second is called regeneration, which pertains to the will and from it to the understanding. Since a human being's will itself is evil by birth, and the understanding teaches what good and evil are, and a person can will either good or evil, it follows that he must be reformed by means of the understanding. This is why the Lord's gift of a cold light, detached from the heat of selfish lust, is so important for men to cultivate. Continuing, we read, as long as anyone sees and mentally acknowledges that evil is evil and good is good, and thinks that the good ought to be chosen, he is in what is called the state of reformation. But when his will leads him to shun evil and do good, the state of regeneration begins. For example, a man sees that adultery is hell and leads to nothing but trouble. He thinks he ought to choose marriage, though his native lusts would lead him away from marriage. Acknowledging the truth of the word and thinking this way is reformation. But as he then chooses to hold his nose against lascivious lusts and instead to devote his love to his marriage, then the warm love and moderating influence of his wife, whom he loves, strengthens his new will in the state of regeneration. And the two-stage process is similar for women. True Christian religion explains further, for the sake of this purpose, there has been given to the human being the ability to elevate his understanding almost into the light in which the angels of heaven are, that by it he may see what he must will and must do, that he may be prosperous in the world for a time and blessed after death to eternity. He becomes prosperous and blessed if he acquires for himself wisdom and keeps his will in obedience to it. But he becomes unprosperous and unhappy if he makes his understanding subservient to his will. This is because the will by birth inclines to evils, even monstrous evils. Therefore, unless the will is held in check by means of the understanding, man, left to the freedom of his will, would rush into great wickedness, and from the savage nature inherent in him, would plunder and slaughter for his own sake all who did not favor him and indulge his lusts. History and daily life are full of examples of men and women failing to hold their wills in check by their understanding. Disasters follow. But the potential for real reformation and regeneration is with us because the Lord is with us. Masculine perception of truth is a key part of what makes us human, as we read. Moreover, if a human being were not able to perfect his understanding separately and to perfect his will by means of it, he would not be a human being but a beast. For without that separation, without the ascent of the understanding above the will, he would not be able to think and from thought to speak, but would only be able to express his affections by sounds. Nor would he be able to act from reason, but only from instinct. Still less could he recognize what relates to God, and thereby God himself, and thus be conjoined with him and live forever. To receive such rational wisdom that rises above the body and beyond the world, a man, a male, first gathers the knowledges and skills special to each man in his occupation. These knowledges and skills form a firm foundation for intelligence and wisdom. If he is a good man, he uses these knowledges every day of his life as he does his work justly and faithfully. They become part of his moral wisdom. Such knowledges or truths brought into practice make him the man he is. We read, charity may be defined as doing good to the neighbor daily and continually, for this is one's daily work. And when not doing it, it still occupies his mind continually, and he has it in thought and intention. The man who thus practices charity becomes more and more charity in form, for justice and faithfulness form his mind, and the practice of them forms his body. And because of his form, he gradually comes to will and think only such things as pertain to charity. Such at length come to be like those of whom it is said in the word that they have the law written on their hearts. The more he uses these knowledges, the more deeply he understands how they work and how life does not work when he ignores them. Knowledge becomes understanding, and understanding becomes wisdom. He no longer has to figure out what to do, he just does it. It even becomes part of his muscle memory. Rational wisdom becomes the wisdom of life as he shuns evils because they are hurtful. Hurtful to the soul, hurtful to the common good, and hurtful to the body. And as he does good things, because they are helpful to the soul, to the common good, and to the body. A wise man knows that only the Lord can teach him what is eternally true and good, and therefore what is good for our country and for our natural body. When we shun what is evil and do what is good, because that's what the Lord teaches us, then we are growing truly wise. This is the wisdom that receives love truly conjugal, true married love, and that makes a man spiritual and not merely animal. In the gospel story, the Lord sets us the example of being a true human being and truly a man. Meanwhile, we also have the story of Pilate struggling to be a man and to act wisely, though he failed in the end for reasons we can see. Pilate comes up into the judgment hall where he talks to the Lord, and then he comes out and down to talk with the Jews. Going up into the judgment hall represents elevating our minds into the light of heaven, the light in which we can see the Lord and hear his voice. Going out of the judgment hall to talk to the Jews represents the mind being let down into earthly light. We can choose to lift up our minds to think truly rationally and sanely from the point of view of eternal life. From this vantage point, we have the distinctly human ability to explore our lower thoughts and feelings and regulate them. We can see Pilate doing this to some extent, trying to get the Jews to give up their intention to kill Jesus, knowing that he was innocent. "I find no guilt in him," he said. But Pilate failed to be a real man for two clear reasons. First, he was not willing to believe that there is such a thing as truth, with a capital T, which the Lord could teach him. And he let fears for his worldly position overcome his better judgment, by which he knew that Jesus was innocent. The Lord, on the other hand, sets us an example of true masculine judgment. Calmly and rationally, he explained the truth to Pilate. He let the Jews respond as they would until they judged themselves, saying, "We have no king but Caesar." At the end, rather than clinging to his life in this world, as the Jews taunted him to do, he was willing to lay down his natural life so that he could rise into heaven. In this way, he put on the power to save all of mankind. He bore witness to the truth that he is both truly God and truly man. The human race needs men to exercise rational and moral wisdom and act with good judgment. The Lord calls us to lift up our minds above the body's cravings and beyond the world's pressures, to see what is truly good and true, especially when the truth may seem inconvenient or even threatening to our worldly, temporary pleasures. We need to keep doing our daily work justly and faithfully and act honorably with everyone we come into contact with. We need to find out the facts, seek to understand them truly, and then do the right thing, disciplining our natural desires because that's what the Lord calls us to do. And that's the way human beings will be prosperous in the world for a time and blessed after death to eternity. The Lord provides men with a wonderful mission statement following His example. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. May we bear witness to the truth in our church, in our country, in our work, and in our homes. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.